Welcome to Morph Into a New You, part of MHNRnetwork.com. Your host, Johnny Calloway, is the author of several books, including Taming the Dragon, Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge. He will be having conversations with people from all walks of life. Healing really is an inside job that transforms you to become a better version of you. We must change our self-talk and inner dialogue so we can start to believe. A special thanks to our sponsor, Meaningful Expressions, at m-expressions.com. They can take a concept, thought, or personal brand and turn it into a visual masterpiece that you can use to raise awareness about your passion or cause. They've certainly done that with our podcast website. And thank you for joining Johnny as you morph into a new you.
Hello, everyone. We're here today with Aura Nadrich. Aura is the author of Says Who, a seven-question process on how to change your life entirely. We're discussing today how to use this process specifically toward the addictive personality.
Okay. First, I have got to tell you that the idea of approaching the Says Who method specifically to drug addicts and whatever other seemingly isolated group there is just blows my mind. It's phenomenal. So if I may, I want to tell you kind of where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah, I'd like to hear your thoughts about that for sure. Yes.
First off, I want to start off with this. Every year in the United States, there are over 30,000 suicides.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And every year, and it's, this number is constantly climbing, there are over 38,000 deaths by drug overdose.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that excites me about your Says Who method, I've been in the 12 steps for 34 years. I've been in A Course in Miracles for 30 years. And all of it sums up to the thing that your simple little program brings to light. You got to change the way you think.
Exactly. You just reduce it down to the most essential truth. And it is that. Yes, I believe that's true.
You just got to change the way you think and you got to stop buying into the lies.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And what's really cool is that that concept is the root, in my mind, of A Course in Miracles and the 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you have simplified the process.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can create the question, here's the bad thing about, I love the 12 steps. I've been in 12 steps for 34 years, and mm-hmm. I absolutely love them. And I got to say, part of the problem with the 12 steps is like AA is anonymous for alcoholics, and that's it. NA is anonymous for drug addicts, and that's it. Numbers, da-da-da-da-da. You can use whatever group you want to use. So the fault with that is then they are isolated, and they are focused more on the symptom than they are the cause, and the cause mm-hmm. is the faulty thinking.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree with you. I think that without criticizing any systems that have been in place, because they've been important ones and crucial ones for people's rehabilitation and to get them functioning and all of that, I have nothing but respect for whatever type of program or discipline that people have had adhered to. I do know that with the way things are moving and how we're evolving and the whole notion of the thinking mind and really coming to understand this better, that we're going to see new developments in these areas. And I feel like I am a part of that, in that there are basic truths, there are fundamental truths to how we function that begin with the thought, for sure. So if we can bring that to the foreground in a way that you're championing, I think that we could do some really great work with it.
Some really great work. Here's one of the things. Like I said, I've been doing this for 34 years, and I've got a bunch of friends that have been doing it for 34 years. And unfortunately, what I observe all the time is people reach a place of complacency,
mm-hmm.
and they stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, I'm not going to jail. My wife is sticking around. My kids are sticking around. They allow me back in the house. I've got a decent job. I'm paying my bills, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that your process can help them get over the hump.
Yeah, you know, when you said in the very beginning, I think that says who without dumbing down in any way, shape, or form, the basic tenets of truth is rather simple. And when it's structured in a way that anybody can use it, where you can reduce the logic in a way that's workable day in and day out, so that you could take responsibility for your own thinking mind, I feel is so important to the understanding of how to keep ourselves whole and healthy. And it's something that we all need on a daily basis.
Right.
So I feel that the Says Who method offers up something for you to use, that you are in the driver's seat. You know, I'm all for, you can hand over your power. You can include your power. You can share your power. You can do whatever you want with your power and how you feel you can get something done. I'm just offering up a system to have in place that you can utilize on your own.
Right. Well, the big word that you used for me and what you just said was responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if I don't take responsibility for my thoughts, then I'm not taking responsibility for my life, because it all starts with my thought.
That's right.
So
absolutely right.
There's a line early on in the Course in Miracles that says, you are much too tolerant of mind wandering and are passively condoning your mind's miscreations.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm like, really? So I need to watch my thoughts, because my, and then another line that's right in that same area in the Course in Miracles says, all thinking creates on some level.
Right. Yeah.
So that's why for me, and I carry this stuff to the nth degree extreme. I'm just that way. But like, it's real important for, like, if I'm doing something and it doesn't actually work out exactly like I thought it was, then my mind wants to go to that go-to thing of like, well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like it not working out is expected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's what I'm expecting, that's probably what I'm going to get.
Right.
So yep. If I can change that and I can be aware and be conscious of where I am in the moment, then I can recreate that. I can create
that's
that
right.
differently.
That's so true, because you are able to catch things that much quicker.
Right.
You know, it's like having, somebody had said to me, boy, you've created this system that is so about accountability. It's like having accountability for your thoughts, you know, and that through the practice and through the discipline of catching those thoughts that end up being our greatest sabotagers, that we develop an inner strength. And so do not want to give it up so readily, even if our program or our original program has had so much power over us for so long. The idea of being able to restructure, to reignite, to rewire the thinking system, that this is the first day, truly, to use that saying, it is the first day of the rest of your life. Start with that, the new thinking now.
Right. So to go back to like the purpose of what we're talking for, how do we direct the questions to the addict or to the addicted personality? Because it's not just the drug addict, it's not just the alcoholic, it's not just the gambler or the sex addict or the foodaholic. How do we direct those questions? And I think we got to go to the very simple start of your process. When the addict comes to me and he says, man, I just really want to get high. To say, okay, who says? Says who? who says you want to get high?
Yeah, that kind of short circuits people too. They're like, what?
Yeah, because they just think it's innate, and they're just, that's the way it is. And unfortunately, since society has conditioned us for a very long time, and I am a part of society, so I'm part of the conditioning, but once an addict, always an addict.
Uh-huh.
So I know as a kid, as a very small child in my life, I heard people tell my dad and say about my dad all the time, well, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. So when I became an alcoholic, I was doomed. There was no hope.
Yeah, wow. Can you imagine the programming and the talk about a thought taking hold in your mind? It's just so interesting. I mean, I wonder how many people people become addicts because they think they're supposed to, you know?
Right.
It's like, well, my dad was an addict and my great grandfather was an addict and my, you know, whatever. And so, of course, I'm going to be an addict. Says who? I mean, yes, I'm not a doctor, you know, genetics, predisposition, disease, all that. I don't know. I just, there's so much programming that goes on around this that, you know.
I'm sorry, but what you just said, you have no idea how true that was in my life. When I was 9 years old, I was sitting in my grandmother's floor watching Popeye. And they took a break from the cartoon, and they held the microphone out to the kids in the studio, and they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, little Bobby was going to grow up and be a carpenter because his dad was a carpenter. Tommy mm-hmm. was going to grow up and be a painter because his dad was a painter. And then mm-hmm. they held the microphone to the camera, and they said, what do you kids in TV land want to be? I said, in my grandmother's floor, 9 years old, I said, I'm going to grow up and be a drunk.
Wow. Wow. There you go.
And by the time I was 13 years old, I was diagnosed by a clinician as an alcoholic at 13.
Amazing.
Because I sat there in the floor and said, I'm going to grow up and be a drunk because that's what my dad was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not as blatant for most people, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. And we can't discount any of that, you know. I mean, I know that these programs have not been structured in this way, but I think you're introducing a pretty revolutionary concept because the decisions that are made, the agreements that are made very early on in childhood. Look at children, they're innocent. We're just innocent beings. We get formed and shaped and told who we are and victimized by others to be something that we didn't come into the world as. We didn't choose. Nobody comes in and chooses to be an alcoholic. They don't choose, you know, why would you choose to be an alcoholic?
I'm chewing on that. Because of my Course in Miracles training, I have a little different take on that stuff. See, I believe I am the author of my life from a spiritual level. And I believe all of the challenges that I have confronted in my life from that spiritual, playful, learning being that I am, I wanted those experiences so I can learn what I've learned, so I can do this, have this conversation, so I can write Dragons to Butterflies. I believe from that place, I chose to learn about forgiveness and I chose to learn about love through the back door, obviously. But I believe from that place I chose. I don't believe Johnny Calloway that we know sitting here in this chair said, hey, you know what? I want to be molested by my dad. Yes. But I do believe that I chose the challenges so that.
Yeah. Yes. In that I do believe, I mean, I think there's different aspects of the life journey. And I think that what you're describing, when I say by choice, by one's own volition, not, you know, focusing on, let's say, the karma of one's destiny, or if we're writing our life story, what I mean as far as just choices, if one were to be asked, would you want to be a drug addict? Would you want to be molested? Would you want to have any of that? I'm sure the answers would probably be invariably, no, I wouldn't choose that for myself.
Right.
Was that part of my life story? Was it written for me? Am I writing it as it goes along? Is it my karma? Whatever one wants to believe makes sense about the life journey. That's personal to us, but everything that we experience by choice or not is the learning. Therein lies the learning for sure.
Right. And I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. So no, I would not at 9 years old say, okay, I want to be a drunk. I want to be a bum. No.
Right. Yeah.
Consciously. There you go.
Yeah.
That's the right word. Consciously.
So with that in mind, you know, and Johnny, you have the background because you have been in these programs. You have that firsthand knowledge and information as an addict and as where your journey has taken you to understand what you feel would help in that journey, be it says who.
Right. And part of what I've been thinking about a lot leading up to this is, because of my experience of that, I know the resistances that we're going to run into. I know the stories that the guys are going to come up with as to why, well, that doesn't work. So knowing that, I can be prepared for Mm-hmm. Or how do I come back with, but wait a minute, whatever the wait a minute leads into, I can be prepared for that. But the bottom line for me, Aura, that excites me about this, is in the 12 steps, there is one principle that is reiterated. Actually, there's two. One is the personal inventory. It's in the fourth step and it's in the 10th step about a personal inventory. Mm-hmm. And in that inventory, tying it into says who, what we are really looking at is what we think and what the energy that we hold around what we think.
Mm-hmm.
So to simplify that process, because the way that it's set up, and I love the 12 steps, but the way that it's set up, it is a daunting task. It is like, oh my God, I got to do what? But to simplify it and say, who told you that you were a bum? Who told you that?
Yeah.
Let's investigate and see what the truth is behind that.
Yeah. What I say with the second question, have I heard someone say this before? Identifying is so important. It's so helpful. And even if you don't remember another person being a part of that shaping of your beliefs, you can remember maybe the first time that you told yourself you were a bum, that you told yourself you're worthless, that you told yourself you're unlovable. It's like going into that, connecting the dots of when the spirit, the pure spirit, just took that turn, you know, again, whether it was part of the karmic lessons of learning of life, to try to remember that, and that today is an opportunity to think differently. Do you know? That's what my work is about. My work is about that you can take anything or anyone and transform it.
Right.
I defy that not being actualized in this lifetime. Anything can be transformed. Anyone can have a transformation. I just know that to be true. That's who we are. That's the spirit. We are that. So to help somebody who is so caught up and mired in this belief that has them so tangled up in that belief that they can't let go of about themselves, that runs their life and has run the show for so long.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. Because there's a prison. I call it the thought prison. And it's like my thoughts keep me so confined in a belief system that isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
So my own thoughts become my warden and my cell.
Yes. Yes, for sure.
So since I'm the warden, I have the key.
Yes, definitely. So well said. I'm all about the key. I love that. You know, that to me is very powerful. That we hold the key. We are the gatekeepers. We are the creators. We are the authors. We are, when did we give up believing that we are that? I mean, you can get into a whole conversation about it on a very deep spiritual existential level of when did man stop believing in him or herself? When did we fall so low in believing that about ourselves? And says who? You know, really says who?
Really says who?
really?
It's really, who the hell says who?
Really says who, okay?
Yeah. So I know for myself, as you were saying something just a minute ago, for me, the first time I decided I was unlovable was when my mom died when I was 5, and I decided I killed her.
I read that. I know.
And
I know.
At that moment, I literally became my own warden, and I threw away the key. So my recovery has been about taking the damn key back.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Taking it back.
Take the key back, man. It's like, I don't have to be locked up. This process, these conversations I get to have on my podcast has really brought to light for me, that 34 years ago, I was walking the streets of Sarasota with the only pair of pants I owned on, and I had a size 9 blue flip-flop and a 10.5 red flip-flop. And now then, I'm sitting here having a conversation with Ora Nadridge and Ben, and we're talking about helping people heal.
Oh, so beautiful. And so, and that's it. That's what it's about. It's like, yes, talk about hell and back, whatever hell means to you. You know, it's like when we go into the darkness, when we are so in that place and never think the light will come in again, another belief. And then the light does. The light comes in. The light will always come in, no matter how dark it gets. Not to give up on ourselves, that the light will always shine again. The light will always come in again. As day follows night, that is the truth of existence, of the universe. Why do we try to move so far away from that? Why do we keep ourselves imprisoned?
It just came to me how we can do this. I wasn't sure how we could do this, and I was hoping that our conversation would reveal to us how we could do this, and I think it just did that. We can do a show. We can do a show called Says Who for the Addict or for the Addictive Personality.
I love it.
Because what I don't want to do is compound the problem. One of the things that I've resisted about 12-step meetings for a long time is the way I started off, if I want to say something, is I'm Johnny and I am an addict. Bull crap. I'm Johnny and I have an addictive personality. It's not what I am.
No.
It's what I've done.
I'm Johnny. I've been an addict. And today I declare myself not an addict. I mean, who's making this up? I mean, look, I'm not an addict. And I, with all due respect, I want to tread lightly on that in that I don't want to make light of something that is really got people's souls so burdened in such despair. But my God, you know, when are we going to move into the freedom?
Right.
For the soul to rise up and be who we really are. You know, it's like, you know, even just hearing you say, Johnny, whether it's skeptics or resistance or, well, you can't do it that way, or, well, no, I mean, you know, this is how it has to be done. I mean, I can't stop from saying says who. It's right. Impossible for me not to say says who. It's almost impossible because it's like, where are these rules? Where is this boxing in? Where is this, you are that forever? I just don't believe that. I fundamentally don't believe that.
Right.
I think that,
again, I can't help but continue to say this. The 12 steps saved my life because they opened the door to my finding the key to get out.
Yeah. Okay, and
that's what they did. They opened the door. They weren't the end all of it, but the door needed to be open. But there are issues with the 12 steps that I take extreme issue with. Anytime, whatever I say after I am, it goes into my soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I reword it. I'm Johnny, and I have an addictive personality. So my thought is, as to how we can present this, is possibly do a show, the Says Who Method for the Addictive Personality. When we do the show, you can be in your coach's seat, and I will be the addict. And we will go through the 7 questions, you talking to the addict, because I know the resistance that we will run into. You won't run into it with me, per se. But at one time you would have.
Yeah, do it. I love the idea of, like, when I hear the words resistance and impossible, never going to happen, you don't understand, you know, all of that, that's all the stuff that needs to be dismantled. That's all the stuff that, this is what we're talking about.
Right.
It's those walls. And I agree with you, by the way, this thing about when we graduate, you talk about the 12-step program being so helpful and helping you get back on track again, you know, but we all do leave the nest. We go on and we live our lives and we continue to evolve and grow. And we feel blessed by what helped us get there, but we continue on the journey.
And that, Aura, you just touched on one of the biggest resistances that we will run into with this. It is drilled into our minds in the 12-step meetings, drilled into our minds, that if we stop going to meetings, we're going to pick up again. Because I know the traditions and because I know the value, the tradition, we have the 12 steps and we have 12 traditions. And the traditions are guarded, and they should be. But it can all, even though it's opening their mind to change, we can word it in a way that it's an invitation to a different thought.
Yes, and I'm all for that, by the way. I love the offering up, invitation. It's like an offering. It's like a gift, you know, rather than an insistence.
Right.
Or
yeah,
none of the should stuff.
I wish I was sitting in the room with you right now because I'd really love to hug you.
Okay. Well, we're going to do the virtual hug.
Okay. This is big stuff for me. Because the Says Who method can not only, when we open the door to the addict, and by the way, we can also do this with the bipolar and the depressive, because so much of life, and I saw some of one of your other talks, so much of life is about divisiveness. It's like, oh, as an addict, this is so, and as a bipolar, this is so. There are so many parts that bring those things together so that it's all inclusive. But the walls to the divisiveness need to be lowered. That's one of the beauties, I think, of my life and my story is that I've had addictive tendencies. I've had alcoholic tendencies. I've been diagnosed as bipolar. I've been all the mental illnesses. I've been diagnosed with them. And what I've done is I've torn those walls down to where the solution is one solution. It's not a different solution for each group. It's a solution, and the solution is, this is why I love your process, change your damn mind. You don't have to be locked into that thought anymore. Change your mind. That's why the tagline for my show is, if you want to change your life, change your mind about your life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I have this visual as you're talking. I see a samurai. I see like this incredible samurai with their sword or some kind of instrument, and it's all about mind strength. Now, a samurai doesn't become a samurai without mind strength.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, and that it is our mind strength that transcends everything, even who we think we are.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I grew up literally thinking I was a murderer because I thought I killed my mom.
Wow.
And therefore, I would not let anything good into my life.
Oh, yeah.
And I would seriously, when somebody would try to be kind or good to me, I would literally, this wasn't a subconscious thought, I would literally think, if they knew I killed my mother, they wouldn't have given me that toy. So generally, within a few days, I would give that toy to someone else.
Yeah. You know, that's a five-year-old thought. That's where it began. You know, we got to look at where this stuff begins. That was formed by a five-year-old psyche.
Right.
You don't want a five-year-old psyche running the show.
No. 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 So I think it would be, and thank you so much for letting me be a part of this with you. It's so cool. I feel so honored to be able to just be a part of this. It's really phenomenal to me.
Well, thank you. For your insight and seeing where it can go, and I value that as well. So where do you want to go next with it, Johnny? Do you feel that we need to brainstorm some more? Do you want to think about the structure? It's your show. You know, I offer up, I come bearing gifts. I come with the Says Who method. As far as structuring it and how you feel it could be presented in the best way possible, you know, I'm going to defer to you on that one.
Well, my thought right at the moment is, let me take a little time and kind of play around in my head how the resistant, addictive personality would respond to some of those questions. What we could do is basically an introduction to how the seven questions could work with the addictive personality. And then what I would hope that we could do is be open to where that would take us after that.
Okay, wonderful.
We could just do it as a one step at a time process, because my hope would be that once we post that out to all of our social media stuff, we're going to get a lot of damn questions.
Yeah, okay.
And then we could build what we need to build beyond that from that. We'll just do the one show to create like a platform, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, that does.
I got to tell you, I have to cry right now. As a matter of fact, I am teared up. I'm not crying, but I'm teared up. Because what I see, and the reason I started this conversation off the way I did with the 30,000 suicides and the 38,000 people we lost to drug overdoses, what I see is we could help lower those numbers.
I feel that. I mentioned suicide. I talk about suicide. You heard me say it on your show. I don't think people just wake up one day, yawn, and then say, I think I'm going to kill myself. I think that starts with a single thought. It started, when it started, and it just gathered moss along the way until you couldn't take the pain anymore.
Right. Well, I did a show with a Dr. Eric Gentry about post-traumatic stress disorder, psychology, and spirituality. And what I learned in that show was absolutely incredible. It just made so many things in my life make so much more sense. They already made sense enough to me that I'm living a decent life, but it put a lot of pieces to the puzzle together. You may want to listen to that show because it was really, really powerful. It's on my site, johnnycalloway.com.
Dr.
Eric Gentry, G-E-N-T-R-Y.
Okay, Eric Gentry. We will check it out.
Post-traumatic stress disorder, psychology, and spirituality, and how you help to work. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Look forward to it. Look forward to the next phase of what this is going to look like, for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm on board. I'm on board.
Great. Thank you so much, and really grateful to have this talk with you. We're going to help some people.
Let's do that, Johnny.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Johnny. Have a beautiful weekend. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening. Remember, never give up. Always keep it real and take time to smell the roses. And please sit down and watch a butterfly. Keep up with all that we are doing by going to morphintoanewyou.com. Thank you very much.